to him. Let's warm ourselves up by standing and singing together. We're going to sing number 159, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, a song of praise to God. So when the music starts, please do stand and we'll sing together. Let's come to God in prayer together. Let's pray together. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Oh Lord, you are holy. You are the one true God over this whole world. You have always existed. You always will be. Lord, may our song of praise be to glorify you, to declare you as holy. May we, not just this morning, but throughout our whole week, be able to worship you. I thank you that we can worship you, that we are free here country to gather together to worship you. And I pray that you will help us this morning as we do that. I thank you we can gather as your people. And I thank you that we can know that when we do that, you are here with us, that you will meet with us. And I pray that you will really speak to us this morning as we read your word. I pray that you will help us to apply that to our lives. As we sing to you, help us to do that with our whole being, knowing who we're singing to. And may we be able to encourage each other as well through our singing. Lord, I pray that you will be with all other gospel teaching churches in this country. As they meet together now as well, I pray that you will be with your people everywhere, that you will really be working through churches all over this land to bring yourself glory and to build up your church. So do be with us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time for our children's talk. So Vic is going to come and give that.
Children. You may have heard this before, and I don't apologise for that. I'm going to tell you four different things this morning, and you may think, well, what have they got to do with each other? First of all, I'm going to ask you a question, and a little bit of a riddle, a puzzle. We have two of them in this church hall here. We have one in the kitchen, and we have one in the back room. Have you any idea what I'm talking about? We don't use them, hopefully. No? There's a hand going up at the back.
Fire extinguishers.
Exactly, fire extinguishers. We hope we don't have to use them. But every year a man comes along here from the company that makes them, and he checks each one to make sure they work all right. But hopefully we just leave them there on the hook, ready in case we ever need it, and hopefully we won't. But now I'm going to go on to something totally different. Do you know where the Sahara Desert is? Yes. Egypt, did you say? Well, it's near Egypt, yeah, but it's bigger than Egypt. It covers the whole, mostly the whole of North Africa. It's vast, it's sand, and it's very dangerous if you lose your way there. Yes. Africa, yeah, that's right, Africa. Now, most of us maybe have never been there, but I had a friend who, very adventurous in his youth, and said that he and some other friends decided they would like to drive right across the Sahara Desert. I don't think I'd want to do that. But when he got there, they were stopped before they went into the desert, and the authorities had a look at their vehicles to make sure that they had enough water, because if you get lost in the desert, you can easily wander off the road there, desert sandstorms and so on, and it's a very dangerous place, and you could die of thirst very easily. And you can get lost very easily. So they would make sure they knew where you were going. They would make sure your vehicle had enough water and everything else to keep it going. And so they would let you go. But they also said you must go together in what we call a convoy. That is several vehicles together. So you would know and be able to help each other if anything went wrong. Now you may say, what's that got to do with fire extinguishers? Well, I've got even another story. Just over 100 years ago, there was a great big ship, which most of you have probably heard of. You've seen it on films and so on, called the Titanic. And the Titanic was so big, so wonderful, so luxurious. People said, oh, it could never sink. It's too big. It's got all these safety features and so on. But sadly, on that very first voyage, it hit an iceberg. And they couldn't believe it was going to sink, and it did. And sadly, many, many people lost their lives. Now, they said they didn't have enough lifeboats on there because they probably thought, oh, well, you know, they never sink, these big liners, and they never really bothered. So they didn't have enough lifeboats. Otherwise, they could have saved probably everybody. So that was very sad, wasn't it? And people remember that even now. It was so long ago. And then we go back right into medieval times. The kings of old, often if they felt sad, they had a special man. Do you know what he was called? Up goes another hand. God, he knows it all, didn't he? Okay. A jester. Or they called him a jester or a fool. And if the king was feeling pretty sad or depressed, bring the fool in and he'll make me laugh. A bit like a comedian, you know, he had funny hats and bells and all the other things. And this story goes, it probably isn't true, but it's a lovely story, is that he loved this jester, he thought very highly of him, and he said, you know, this is wonderful, I'm going to give you my special staff. And he said, if you find a greater fool than yourself, then you can hand this staff to him. Well, one day, this king fell very ill, and he called the jester or the fool in and said to him, I'm going away. And he said, how long for? For a month? And he said, no, longer than that. Well, what about a year? No, more, longer than that. What, never? Yes, never, he said. I'm never coming back. I'm going away forever. And the jester or the fool said to him, are you prepared for this long journey? He said, well, no. Well, he said, have this staff, he said, because you're a greater fool than I am. Now, isn't that's amazing, isn't it? What connects all these four things? Does anybody tell me? Can anybody? A quiet voice for a man with a child's heart, Andrew, says, be prepared. All of these things are saying you must be prepared. And it's right, isn't it? We don't use these, but if there's a fire, they've got to be working and be ready. And it's the same with all these other things I've been talking about. And people in this life will say, oh, you've got to be ready, do your exams, pass, you know, make sure you've done all your revision and so on. And if you go for an interview, you've got to have all your prepared for that interview, very important. But these things are nothing like as important as being prepared for one thing. And Jesus said this, didn't he? See, in this life, people say, oh, these are very important. But there's something far, far more important to be prepared for. And Jesus said this. And if you want to know where he says it, it's in Matthew 24, verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So all of us will one day meet him. And how will we be prepared to meet Jesus? Can anybody tell me that? When he comes again, how will you be prepared? Up goes the same hand. Wonderful. Yes. Exactly. Believe in Jesus. Now, how many of us believe? And that means believing, not just believing in him, but giving your life to him. Because he is the only way that we'll be able to face God on that day when he comes back, to be right with Jesus. He's done everything to make us right with God. All he's asking you to believe in him and to trust in him and to follow him. And that's being really prepared, and that's more important than everything else in this life. So you remember that this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Yvette. We're going to sing again now before the children go out to Sunday school. We're going to sing number 619, 619, From the Sun's Rising Unto the Sun's Setting. Jesus our Lord shall be great in the earth, and all earth's kingdoms shall be his dominion. All of creation shall sing of his worth. Let's sing this together when the music starts. And it's time for our notices now, so Peter is going to come and give those.
Good morning and welcome to our morning service. Today we have the privilege of having our brother David Howe, who would be leading morning service, and we warmly welcome Brother David. Today after the morning service, we'll have bring and share lunch, followed by inspiration, which is open to all. On Thursday at 7:30 p.m., we'll have catechism, and on Friday, 11 o'clock at 7:30 p.m. On Saturday, there is table outreach at 9:30 a.m., and if you would like to participate in that, please make it a point to reach here by 9:30, as we have to carry the table and other things. That is on Saturday. Easter meetings are scheduled from 28th of March till 30th. That is on Wednesday, 28th March at Stanwell Congregational Church, and on 29th at Cranford Baptist Church, and on 30th, that is on Friday, at Haystown Chapel. These meetings will start at 7:30 p.m. And we have Easter leaflets, and some volunteers are required for distributing them. In this regard, please contact our brother Sanjeev. And regarding twinning, our sister Myrtle will speak now.
We're going to pray again together, so let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we come before you acknowledging who you are, that you are the creator and the sustainer of everyone and everything. You have existed from before even time began, and you will always exist. And Lord, we are astounded that we can come before you and we can talk before you. We can talk to you and you listen to us. Lord, we praise you that that is true. We praise you that you are the Lord. And we know, Lord, that one day all of creation will acknowledge that. Everyone will know who you are and that you are Lord. We pray that you will help us now as we seek to tell people about you. Lord, we look around this area around this church, around the world of ours, and there are so many people that don't know you. Lord, we pray that you may use us to make you known. We pray that you will build up your church and you will send us out to share of who you are, to be able to be witnesses to you and to be able to point people to Jesus and show and share the wonderfully good news that the Bible brings. Lord, I pray for the witness of Hounslow West Evangelical Church. I pray that you will use this church in this area that you have placed it to make you known. Lord, it's a wonderfully diverse area. And Lord, I pray that you may be working in this area to draw people to you. I pray for opportunities that Easter gives to be able to tell people about you, to be able to show people what the real meaning of Easter is. And I pray that you will use this church over the this Easter period coming up. I pray for those services that are happening, joint services with other churches from the area. I pray that you may use those services. I pray, Lord, that you will use us all individually with the people that you bring across our path to be able to point people to you. I pray that that we will have opportunities to explain what Easter means, what it's really about, and what wonderfully good news it is that you sent your Son to die for us, but that he didn't stay dead. He came back to life. He conquered death, and he now reigns with you, and that means that we can come and we can know you. Please help us. Give us opportunities to share that with others. And I pray that you may use those conversations that we have to draw people to you so that they too may accept Jesus as their Savior. Lord, I pray for people in this church. I pray for those that are unwell or that are struggling with their health. I pray for those that maybe can't make it out as regularly as they used to. I pray for those that that don't have work at the moment or are struggling in their work. I pray for those that maybe have difficult marriages, for those that have difficult children. I pray for those that are a long way from their family. I pray for those with financial problems. Lord, there are many. I'm sure there are many, many different situations in this world, in this church. Pray for everyone that you will be close to them, that you will bring comfort where comfort is needed, that you will be drawing everyone closer to you, that you will be reminding everyone of your love, especially this Easter. And I do pray that you will use this church to encourage each other, to build each other up in the faith, so that as we go out, we may be able to live lives that honor and glorify you. Lord, I pray for your church around the world. Lord, in many places, it isn't easy. Being a Christian, it isn't easy following you. And I pray, Lord, for the persecuted church. I pray for those in countries where your people face such severe persecution. Lord, may you draw close to them. May you help them to fix their eyes on you, to remember the future that they have in you. I pray that you will help them to stand firm, that you will keep them in your love. And I pray that you may use them to bring you glory. I pray that you will be continuing to grow your church. Lord, it can sometimes be discouraging in this country when it seems that your church isn't growing as we might like. But Lord, we look around the world and we do see your church growing. We do see you working in wonderful ways. And we pray that you may continue that, and that you will receive all the glory for that. We thank you again that we can gather together this morning, and we pray that you will speak to us as we read your word and as we seek to look at what it means. I pray that you may challenge us, that you may fix our eyes on Jesus, that you may remind us of just how beautiful he is, and that may spur us on to live for you throughout this week. So do be with us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to read the Bible together. So if you have a church Bible, the reading will be on page 984. It's Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, and we'll be reading verses 1 through to verse 13. Matthew 17, page 984. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." They looked up. They saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. We're going to return to that passage shortly, but first we're going to sing again together. We're going to sing number 287. "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now." So we'll stand and we'll sing together.
Please do open your Bibles again in front of you to Matthew chapter 17. Now I wonder, have you ever had a wow moment? An experience that has taken your breath away and just made you gaze in wonder? Maybe it was a view from high up somewhere. Maybe you've been somewhere like Niagara Falls or Machu Picchu. Maybe you've been snorkeling or scuba diving. Maybe it was the experience of holding a brand new life in your hands. Maybe it wasn't an experience you had, but something that you've learned or discovered about the world that we live in, and it made you go, wow. Last year, my dad went to the Arctic Circle to photograph the Northern Lights. And when he came back, he showed us some of his photos. I wasn't even there, and yet it made me stop and marvel at the beauty of it. It doesn't matter whether or not you understand the science of how the Northern Lights work. You can't help but see them and go, wow, that is incredible. It's like God's canvas in the sky where he paints just because he can to show his wonder. They are a stunning spectacle that can only fill us with awe. Well, this morning, we're going to have a wow moment of our own. A moment far greater than if I took all of you to see the Northern Lights. A moment that would make seeing the Northern Lights pale in comparison. A moment that I hope and pray will cause you to go, wow, and then to praise God because of it. Just to set the context of where we are in Matthew's Gospel, if you glance back at chapter 16, you will see Peter declaring that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one whom God had promised to send from long ago. And then Jesus responds to Peter's declaration by saying, yes, you are right, Peter, but you must take up your cross if you are to follow me. Following Jesus will mean a life of suffering. Persecution will come, Jesus warned his disciples. And the resulting challenge of that for them would have been, are you willing to die for me? And so now, almost as a reassurance, Jesus shows some of his disciples what they will gain. You may die for my name, but this is what you will gain. I'm not sure whether it's still used today, but we used to have a road safety slogan in this country for teaching children how to cross the road safely. It's been reborn many times, but always some variant of stop, look, listen. Stop, look, listen. Well, this morning we're going to do just that. We're not crossing any roads, but we are going to stop so that we can look and listen. And hopefully after we've looked and listened, that will produce in us another L. And I'll leave you to guess for the moment what that might be. So firstly, let's look at who Jesus really is. Look at who Jesus really is. Jesus takes three of his closest disciples up a mountain. The three were Peter, James, and John. They are often referred to as the inner circle of the 12. We are told it's a high mountain, so they go for a hike, much like I'm sure many of you have been on before. And yet their hike takes a sudden and unexpected turn when we hit verse 2. It says there, that is, up this mountain, there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. They go for a walk, and then, boom, this happens. We're told that Jesus was transfigured. It's not really a word that we use much, so what does that actually mean? Well, the Oxford Living Dictionary defines transfigure as to transform into something more beautiful or elevated. To transform into something more beautiful or elevated. And so we're told Jesus transfigured in front of them, but how? In what way did he transfigure? Well, two things happened, Matthew tells us. Firstly, his face shone like the sun. Just in case you didn't quite hear me, or maybe you thought you misheard me, I'm going to say that again. His face, that is his face like yours and mine, shone like the sun. That is that big burning ball of gas that is so bright it brings light to the whole world despite being nearly 93 million miles away. Now, I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but that just doesn't happen. People's faces don't shine like the sun. Just try to imagine that with me for a moment. You're standing next to your best friend who, having just got to the top of a mountain, you're looking out, admiring the view, maybe having a wow moment of your own. And then suddenly you see something bright in the corner of your eye. You turn to see what it is, and your friend's face is shining like the sun. What's going on? Who are you? And not only that, but his clothes became as white as the light. It's not just his face that's shining brighter than anything you've ever witnessed, but his clothes are dazzlingly bright too. What is going on? Who is this? If we read Luke's account of the transfiguration, we'll see he adds in four words that should blow you away. He says this in Luke chapter 9, verse 32. This is after Jesus was transfigured. It then says, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, talking about this event here on the mountain. In other words, they got a glimpse of Jesus' true identity, of who he really is. Jesus showed them a glimpse of his true self, of his glorified, eternal self. You may die for my name, but this is what you will gain. And it's now that we begin to understand what's really going on here. It's now that we see that Jesus wasn't transforming into something more beautiful or elevated, like our definition of transfigure said. He's not performing a magic trick and turning into something that he's not, like when the genie turns Aladdin into a prince. This is not like that. No, no, no. Instead, Jesus was showing his disciples who he really is. He was giving them a glimpse of his glory that has always existed. Since before time began. John said in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. And then later on in John, Jesus said, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. We get a glimpse of Jesus' eternal glory past. But this is also a glimpse of his eternal glory future. In Revelation chapter 1, John sees a vision of Jesus in his eternal glory, and it says this. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like bronze, glowing in a furnace. and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. This is Jesus in all his glory. This is the Jesus that has always existed. The Jesus that we will one day come face to face with. For eternity past, he has had this glory. For eternity future, he will have this glory. This is who he really is. And he left the splendor of heaven and became a man. He became flesh, and yet that didn't change who he was. He still had his full glory, they just couldn't see it. Until, that is, Jesus gave Peter, James, and John this glimpse of his true identity. And then, as if in our looking we hadn't seen enough proof of who Jesus is, what happens next? That was only verse 2 of our passage. Verse 3 says, "Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus." Hold on a second. And not only have 2 men suddenly appeared out of nowhere talking with Jesus, but these are 2 men who had lived a long time ago. And not just 2 random old men, but 2 of the biggest names in the Old Testament. This might be like you standing in a room and suddenly Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley appearing. We're not told how Peter, James and John knew this was Moses and Elijah. Maybe Jesus introduced everyone. We don't know. But we now get proof of why Jesus has come. As I said, these are 2 big names in the Old Testament. Moses represents the books of the law. That can be classed as the first part of the Old Testament. And Elijah represents the prophets. That can be classed as the second part of the Old Testament. So together, they encompass the whole Old Testament. And yet, they're not the focus here. If Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley did suddenly appear, let's say, at Christmas when you were singing carols down at the tube station, they suddenly appeared then. Well, no disrespect to your singing, but I think if they had appeared, the focus would suddenly have shifted to them. They would have stolen the limelight. But that doesn't happen here, does it? The limelight is still very much on Jesus. We have 2 massive Old Testament names, names that represent the whole of the Old Testament, and yet Jesus is shown to be superior even to them. And therefore we see that he is the one who supersedes them, the one who will fulfill the whole of the Old Testament. He is the one that the whole of the Old Testament is pointing towards, the one whom it promised would come to save God's people. And here we get a glimpse of who he really is. This is Jesus. He is the one who fulfills the Old Testament. He is the one who shines with all the glory of God. Look at who he is. Bask in who he is. The definition of bask is to lie exposed to warmth and light, typically from the sun, for relaxation and pleasure. So do that. Bask in who Jesus is, and may that lead you to praise and worship. Let's do that now. Take a moment to reflect on the Jesus that we've seen in this passage, on his true identity, on his glory, before we move on to our next point. Look at who Jesus really is. second, listen to who Jesus really is. Listen to who Jesus really is. This isn't the end of our mountaintop experience. There's still more to come. We're told that Peter does what Peter does best and engages his mouth before his brain. He begins to speak. In a couple of the other Gospels, we're told that he didn't really know what he was saying. And so before he can even finish, God just gently hushes Peter and speaks himself. It's as if he goes, shh, don't speak, just listen. And then we hear God himself speak. God speaks out of a cloud that descends upon them and covers them. This is my son, God says, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. In case the transfiguration didn't make it clear enough who Jesus is, God himself tells them and confirms Jesus' identity. In 2012, authorities in Mexico paraded a man in front of the media who they claimed to be Jesus Alfredo Guzman, the son of the country's most wanted drugs lord. They were celebrating what they thought was a massive coup against one of Mexico's biggest drug cartels. Except it quickly became apparent that maybe they had the wrong person when the man's mother got in touch with the police to say, no, he's my son. He has nothing to do with any drug cartels. He's called Felix and he's a car salesman. They carried out some tests and a few hours later, officials had to admit that they had got it wrong. Well, here we get Jesus' father confirming his identity. And yet, unlike in Mexico, where Felix's mother had to prove that he wasn't anybody important, here we realize just how important this identity is. Because this isn't Joseph the carpenter saying, this is my son. This is God speaking. This is God speaking out of a cloud. And he says, this is my son whom I love. This is my son whom I love. God effectively says he has my full authority, so listen to him. Listen to everything that he says. But this isn't news to Peter, James and John, is it? In chapter 16, Peter declared that Jesus is the Messiah or the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Peter had said. Peter had already come to this conclusion, and yet he clearly hadn't fully understood what that meant, for he then proceeded to rebuke Jesus for saying that he had to die. And so now God himself confirms Peter's declaration. You were right, Peter. He is my son, and I am pleased with him. I love him, so listen to all that he tells you, including his prediction that he is going to die. Listen to him. So we must listen to God's testimony of who Jesus is. We must believe what God says about him. And then we also must listen to Jesus himself. We should listen to him when he tells us how to live. The Sermon on the Mount is not just some teachings by a good man. That was God himself speaking. Teaching. We must listen to him. We must obey him. And we should listen to Jesus when he makes promises. He has made so many promises, and we can trust those promises because we know who he is, we know where he's come from, and we know whose authority he has. So when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, we can trust that. When he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. We can listen to him and we can be fully confident that he is not making that up. He's not saying something that he has no power to accomplish. But we know that we can trust him fully because not only have we glimpsed his glory, but we have also heard God confirming his identity. So we should listen to Jesus' teachings. We should listen to his promises. We should also listen to the mission that he gives us. He has given us a mission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We must listen to that mission that he's given us, and we must seek to fulfill it. God has spoken. He has declared who Jesus is. We must listen to God's testimony of who Jesus is, and we must listen to Jesus. Listen to who Jesus really is. We are to look and we are to listen, and there is only one response to this. I told you earlier it begins with L. I wonder how many of you have guessed what that might be. Look, listen, love. Love Jesus because of who he really is. We are to love Jesus because of who he really is. He is the one who bears the full glory of God, whose face shines like the sun, whose clothes are as white as the light. God himself has confirmed Jesus' identity. Peter, James, and John responded in the only way they could when they looked and listened. Verse 6, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. They realized just whose presence they were in. They realized just how pure he is and how impure they are. And they fell to their knees, terrified. When we remember who Jesus is, it should bring us to our knees. Except we don't need to stay on our knees, because look what Jesus does next. And this is beautiful. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. And then verse 7, but Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. The same Jesus that we have seen in all his glory touched them. He comforted them and reassured them. Get up. You don't need to be afraid, he told them. Yes, you may have just had a glimpse of who I really am, of my glory. And yet I am still the Jesus that you know and love. I am still the Jesus who is going to suffer and die for you. So you needn't be afraid. Jesus reminds his disciples in verse 12 that he is going to suffer at the hands of men, and not just suffer, but be killed, just like John the Baptist was. Yes, you have had a glimpse of who I am, but I am still going to die for you, to save you. And amazingly, he says that to us too. Jesus willingly suffered and died so that he could save us. So that he can reach out his hand and touch us and tell us, don't be afraid. Yes, seeing Jesus' glory should drive us to our knees when we realize who he is. But then if we trust him, he will reach out his hand and say, get up, don't be afraid. I have died so that you needn't be afraid. How can this not drive us to love him more and more each day? When we see who he is, when we see his glory, and yet when we see just how much he cares for and loves us. And as we love him more and more, there is only one other response it should cause in us. On the way down from the mountain, Jesus warned Peter, James, and John not to tell anyone what they had seen yet. Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The time wasn't yet right for them to go and blurt out what they had just seen. You can only imagine how difficult that would have been for them, can't you? If you have had a wow moment, I'm sure one of the first things you wanted to do afterwards was to tell others, maybe to show them the pictures. We love sharing stories and experiences with others. If this had happened today, Peter would have been putting a picture up on Twitter and Facebook while he was still up the mountain. But the time wasn't yet right for them to share it. Thankfully, we don't have that same restriction today. Jesus has risen. We'll be remembering that in a couple of weeks at Easter, won't we? He has been raised back to life. And so we are free to tell everyone of his glory. And we should tell. We have had a glimpse of Jesus' true identity this morning, of his glory. And oh, how beautiful it is. Therefore, we should be going and telling others. We should be pointing them to him. So what's holding you back? Look, listen, love. Look at who Jesus really is. Listen to who Jesus really is. And may that drive you to love him because of who he really is. See his glory. See his identity. See what he's accomplished. Just before the transfiguration, at the end of chapter 16, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." One day, Jesus is going to return. The transfiguration proves that to us because we see that he is not just a man. Yes, he is fully man, but he is also fully God. We can see that from the transfiguration. We see him in his resurrected eternal state. And for the Christians, that is great news that he will return one day. It is news that should make us rejoice and long for that day when we will get to spend an eternity with him. What a glorious day that will be. Long for it. Rejoice now because of it. And yet, if you're here and you're not a Christian, this is a warning to you. Because Jesus will return, and when he does, he will judge us. And he will reveal just how we've lived our lives. We will all fall on our knees before him. And if you don't know him, then there will be no comforting touch. There will be no "do not be afraid." Because we've seen this morning just who Jesus is. Just how pure and perfect he is. And that's not us. And yet there is also great hope in this passage for you. Because as he chatted with his disciples on the way down from the mountain, he told them that he will suffer, and he will suffer for us on our behalf so that we can put our trust in him. He knew that he was going to suffer at the hands of men, and not just suffer, but be killed. And he willingly faced that so that if we trust him, he will be able to judge us as innocent, as pure, with no spot or blemish. So if you're not trusting Jesus, don't miss who he is. We've seen his true identity this morning. His identity that we will all stand before one day. So trust him. And you will get to stand before him and spend your eternity with him, basking in his glory. If you are trusting him, then rejoice. Rejoice at who Jesus is. This is Jesus, your Saviour. Praise him. Glorify him. And go and tell others about him. There's a children's song which we listen to at home sometimes called The God of Wow. Part of it says this: I can't find the words that could be big enough, loud enough. There could be no song that I could sing enough or shout enough. When I want to praise your name but don't know how, I just say, wow, amazing, how could this be? And I say, whoa, you're more than I could ever, ever dream. Sometimes that is the only response that we can give. This is one of those passages we will never fully understand, but it should simply cause us to go, wow. Jesus, you are amazing. Look, listen, love. Love him now with all your heart, and then love him for an eternity as you spend it with him. We're going to close by singing at number 190. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. Verse 3 talks about the wonder that God sent his Son to die for us. And then verse 4 talks about when Christ will return to take us home. And what is our response? Then sings my soul, my Saviour, God to thee, how great thou art, how great you are. Let's lift up our voices and sing together. Let your soul sing of how great God is. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, how we praise you for this glimpse that we have seen this morning of who Jesus is, of his true identity, of his glory. Oh, and how wonderful it is to think that one day we won't just see a glimpse of that, but we will get to spend an eternity with him. Help us to long for that. And may that drive us on now to live for him, to love him as we look at who he is. May we listen to him. May we seek to live out our lives now for him and long for that day when we will see him in all his glory for ourselves. Help us to look at who Jesus really is. Help us to listen to who Jesus really is. And help us to love him because of who Jesus really is. Please be with us as we meet together, as we have lunch together this afternoon. May we be reminding each other of Jesus, of who he is, pointing each other to you, encouraging each other. And I pray that you will then help us to live out for you through the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.